From the registered leader in December 1961, that was precursor of the UU World magazine. Whatever Child is the name of it. Whenever time, wherever place is born a child of love and grace who grows to lead men up the road to firmer, stronger brotherhood, we hail his birth, though high or low. We mourn his death, but count as holy what he teaches us through living, loving, learning, serving, giving, and seek him no celestial throne. That child is holy of his own.
Okay, we're going to do a responsive reading, number 617.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
And Joseph also went out from Galilee unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Daughter Karen is quite ill, and I thought it would be Well, I don't know.
You want to tell them, didn't I?
Yeah, yes.
She's had some seizures and has been diagnosed with epilepsy, but they're not real sure yet what the cause is. And so they're still doing a lot of testing to find out what the cause is.
She is home?
Yes, she is home.
So, the good part is that Dana and Mark, their daughter and her husband, are back home.
I told you before that Odell and Hazel Tallow Farrell were going to go to a nursing home, but he still resisted so strongly that he was willing to part with the money to have someone come in every day. So they have help coming in from 7 to 1 every day, and another helper from 3 till 9 at night, and a different person on the weekend. They're able to stay in their own home. When I called, they were both mad, so I didn't speak to them. I've conveyed to you their greetings, because they're very fond of Prairie Society.
Well, we have a joy in Anna is home from Oregon, and Greg is home from Grinnell, and he did work this morning.
I have a sorrow, unfortunately. My husband Lee's cousin's a little boy who was a little over 2 years old died this week. He was had been injured at his daycare when he was 10 months old, and is believed to be a case of shaken baby syndrome, and he was comatose for several months before that. He was at a facility that saved state, and apparently the brain injury was too great, and he had some high fevers, and he died on Tuesday morning. So it's been a very bad year for the family. The grandfather, his little boy's great-grandfather, died in July.
Joy is that Carolyn is here, I know that. She's an active Unitarian Universalist in Portland, Oregon. Also, Joy, to see Reed Miller here.
You're going to be
a blank guy. I must have known you, Reed, for about 15 years. I gather you've had a tough time recently. Okay.
Sure, my dad passed away. He died 3 weeks ago today. That was my sorrow. My joy was to find my way to the first Unitarian Church in Oklahoma City, which was where I'd been when my dad was dead.
Thank you.
mother loved him once too, but I'll be brief. Howard Thurman was the black man who was dean of the Boston University School of Theology. I've had the good fortune to hear him twice preach. He's the best storyteller I ever heard in my life, though the slowest. I place these gifts on my altar this Christmas, gifts that are mine as the years are mine. The quiet hopes that flood the earnest cargo of my dreams. The best of all good things to those I love. A fresh new trust for all whose faith is dim. The love of life, God's precious gift in reach of all. Seeing in each day the seeds of the morrow. Finding in each struggle the strength of renewal. Seeking in each person the face of my brother. I place these gifts on my altar this Christmas, gifts that are mine as the years are mine. Another quote by the same Howard Thurman. The tides flow out from the inner sea at Christmas time. They find their way to many shores with gifts of remembrance, thoughts of love. Though the world be weary and the days afraid, the heart renews its life and the mind takes hope from the tides that flow from the inner sea at Christmas. I didn't use the one you're going to use at the end of it.
Okay, now we'll get to sing him 244.
Thank you. takes about 20 minutes to read, so it's happening over 3 years, and we'll finish up this time around. But I think what I'll do is to read just the beginning introduction again and then skip to the last part. One Christmas was so much like another in those years around the Seatown corner now, and out of all sound except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep, that I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and 6 nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was 6. All the Christmases roll down towards the two-tongued sea, like a cold and headlong moon bundling down the sky that was our street. And they stop at the rim of the ice-edged, fish-freezing waves, and I plunge my hands into the snow and bring out whatever I can find. In goes my hand into that wool-white, velvet tongue ball of holidays, resting at the rim of the carol-singing sea. And out comes, well, it was Mrs. Protheroe and the fireman, and the postman, and the presents, useful and useless. And there's a little voice that's prodding the storyteller. Were there uncles like in our house? There were always uncles at Christmas. The same uncles. And on Christmas mornings, with dog disturbing whistle and sugar fangs, I would scour the Swatch town for the news of the little world and always find a dead bird by the white post office or by the deserted swings, perhaps a robin. All but one of his fires out, men and women waiting or scooping back from chapel with taproom noses and windbust cheeks like albinos, huddled with their stiff, black, jarring feathers against the irreligious snow. Mistletoe hung from the gas brackets in all the front parlors. There was sherry and walnuts and bottled beer and crackers by the dessert spoonfuls. And cats with their fur abouts watched the fires, and the high-heaped fire spat all ready for the chestnuts at the mulling pokers. Some few large men sat in the front parlors without their collars. Uncles, almost certainly. Trying their new cigars, holding them out judiciously at arm's length, returning them to their mouths, coughing, then holding them out again as though waiting for the explosion. And some few aunts, not wanted in the kitchen, nor anywhere else for that matter, sat on the very edges of their chairs, poised and brittle, afraid to break, like faded cups and saucers. Not many those mornings trod the piling streets. An old man, always fawn bowler, yellow glove, and at this time of year with spats of snow, would take his constitutional to the white bowling green and back, as he would take it wet or fine on Christmas Day or Doomsday. Sometimes two hale young men with big pipes blazing, no overcoats and wind-blown scars, would trudge unspeaking down to the forlorn sea to work up an appetite, to blow away the fumes, who knows, to walk into the waves until nothing of them was left but the two curling smoke clouds of their inextinguishable briars. Then I would be slapdashing home, the gravy smell of the dinners of others, the bird smell, the brandy, the pudding, the mints, coiling up to my nostrils. When out of a snow-clogged side lane would come a boy, the spit of myself, with a pink-tipped cigarette. Remember there was a story about candy cigarettes earlier? And the violet past of a black eye, cocky as a bullfinch, leering to himself. I hated him on sight and sound, and would be about to put my dog whistle to my lips and blow him off the face of Christmas when suddenly he, with a violent, violet wink, put his whistle to his lips and blew so stridently, so high, so exquisitely loud that gobbling faces, their cheeks bulged with goose, would press against their tinseled windows. the whole length of the white echoing street. For dinner, we had turkey and blazing pudding, and after dinner, the uncles sat in front of the fire, loosened all their buttons, put their large, moist hands over their watch chains, groaned a little, and slept. Mothers, aunts, and sisters scuttled to and fro bearing tureens. Aunt Bessie, who had already been frightened twice by a clockwork mouse, whimpered at the sideboard and bored and had some elderberry wine. The dog was sick. Aunt Dosey had to have three aspirins, and Aunt Hannah, who liked port, stood in the middle of the snowbound backyard, singing like a big bassoon thrush. I would blow up balloons to see how big they would blow up to, and when they burst, which they always did, the uncles jumped and rumbled. In the rich and heavy afternoon, the uncles breathing like dolphins and the snow descending, I would sit among festoons and Chinese lanterns and nibble dates and try to make a model of man-o-war, following instructions for little engineers, and produce what might be mistaken for a sea-going tram car. Or I would go out, my bright new boots squeaking into the white world, onto the seaward hill to call on Jim and Dan and Jack, and to pad through the still streets, leaving huge, deep footprints on the hidden pavements. I bet people will think there have been hippos. What would you do if you saw a hippo coming down our street? I'd go like this, bang. I'd throw him over the railings, and I'd roll him down the hill, and then I'd tickle him under the ear, and he'd wag his tail. What would you do if you saw two hippos? Iron-flanked and bellowing, he hippos clanked and battered through the scuttling snow towards us as we passed Mr. Daniel's house. Let's post Mr. Daniel's a snowball through his mail slot. Let's write things in the snow. Let's write, Mr. Daniels looks like a spaniel, all over his lawn. Or we walked on the white shore. Can the fishes see it snowing? The silent, one-clouded heavens drifted onto the sea. Now we were snow-blind travelers lost on North Hills, and vast, dew-lapped dogs with flasks around their necks ambled and shambled up to us, baying, Excelsior! We returned home through the poor streets when only a few children fumbled with bare red fingers in the wheel-rutted snow, and the cat called after us, their voices fading away, and we trudged uphill to the cries of the dock birds and the hooting of ships out in the whirling bay. And then at tea, the recovered uncles would be jolly, and the ice cake loomed in the center of the table like a marble grave. Aunt Hannah laced her tea with rum, because it was only once a year. Bring out the tall tales now that we told by the fire. The gaslight bubbled like a diver. Ghosts hooed like owls in the long nights when I dared not look over my shoulder. Animals lurked in the cubbyhole under the stairs where the gas meter ticked. And I remember that we went singing carols once, when there wasn't the shaving of a moon to light the flying streets. At the end of a long road was a drive that led to a large house, and we stumbled up the darkness of the drive that night, each one of us afraid, each one holding a stone in his hand in case, and all of us too brave to say a word. The wind through the trees made noises as of an old and unpleasant, and maybe web-footed men we'd seen in caves. We reached the black bulk of the house. What should we give them, Hark the Herald? No, Jack said. Good King Wenceslas, I'll count three. One, two, three. And we begin to sing, our voices high and seemingly distant in the snow-felt darkness round the house that was occupied by nobody we knew. We stood close together, near the dark door. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. And then a small, dry voice. like the voice of someone who had not spoken for a long time. He joined our singing, a small, dry, eggshell voice from the other side of the door, a small, dry voice through the keyhole. And when we stopped running, we were outside our house. The front room was lovely. Balloons floated under the hot water gulping gas. Everything was good again and shone over the town. Perhaps it was a ghost, Jim said. Perhaps it was trolls, Dan said, who was always reading. Let's go in and see if there's any jelly left, Jack said, and we did that. Always on Christmas night there was music, an uncle playing the fiddle, a cousin sang Cherry Ripe, and another uncle sang Drake's Drum. It was very warm in the little house. Aunt Hannah, who had got onto the parsnip wine, sang a song about bleeding hearts and death, and then another in which she said her heart was like a bird's nest. And then everybody laughed again, and then I went to bed. Looking through my bedroom window out into the moonlight and the unending smoke-colored snow, I could see the lights in the windows of all the other houses on our dear hill, and hear the music rising from them up the long, steady falling night. I turned the gas down. I got into bed. I said some words to the close and holy darkness. And then I slept.
Laughter, bells, and carolers.
And knowing that my religion is
saviors of the world, as miracles abound in common things.
Rejoice and join in the gladness of Christmas.
We're going to sing 235, Deck the Hall.
Thank you. that's my complaint.
Everybody play this chord. So 15, 12, and 3 to play. Let's hear it. Ready? Okay. Let's do it. You don't want to see it. You know what it's about. Okay. And how, let's try this chord. Next one. You're one of those. Okay, ready? Okay. So I'll try to point to it in time. So we get it right, okay? Is everybody ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not sure I am.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, number six gets to serve. Ready? Okay, here we go. Never mind, I'm on the wrong side. Start again. Okay. So we printed it on your order of service.
Thank you. to the house.
He had a broad face and a little round belly.
that shook when he laughed, like a bowl of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know that I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laid his finger aside of his nose and given a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night, a very good night." And that goes with that small kid.
Bring me that curve in the red side. couldn't get a three.
Okay. Somebody know the line of instruction? Oh, here we are. Let's sing it through once, all together, just to make sure we know it. Then what's going to happen? We are number one here in the middle. We're going to go to our left. And number two is out here, we'll go to their right. And number three circle, we'll go to their left. Okay, as you sing. And all you have to do is walk. Right, left, right, or if you prefer left, right, left. It makes no difference. Let's try it all together.